We're going to talk about ghosting today, which...
Why? Who? What is it about? Is it about you? Isn't it about you? This is actually, we've got two mailbags, and we're not going to be mean. We're going to be very loving, but the two mailbags are both from ghosters.
And regardless of what it is that's going on for you, you're in distress about this. You're struggling with it. And I think part of your work is to remove yourself from that struggle and really try to be less avoidant, to be direct, to be honest, and not afraid of any of those things. So I think managing that fear and that discomfort with getting back to someone, if you don't have something they might want to know. You know, I feel like we are Ghostbusters today.
Oh my God!
Right?
I really love
that. It kind of hit me as something you said.
We're solving ghosting.
Who are you going to call?
This podcast represents the opinions of our hosts and guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. This podcast also does not establish a standard of care, doctor-patient, or client relationship. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or website. And because each person is so unique, all listeners are encouraged to connect with counseling and medical professionals for assistance with their personal journey. All people, places, and scenarios mentioned in the podcast have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved.
Welcome to We're Not Fine. I'm Dr. Talia Jackson.
And I'm Doug Jensen. We thank you for listening every week to our deep and thought-provoking conversations about relationships.
Hello, viewers, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of We're Not Fine.
We could not be more excited that you're here, per usual.
Yep.
You guys don't know this, but we have been not recording for like a month. It's been like a month.
I'm kind of confused about all of it.
And we've been through ups and downs, highs and lows, but we are feeling so good right now.
We're feeling pretty good. We want to acknowledge with appreciation and gratitude the loss of our producer, Supak.
Who is alive and well.
Yep. That does sound really fatal, doesn't it?
It does.
I kind of get morbid about this.
She has this amazing business called J. Victoria with her wife.
Yep.
And she just needs time to get that pushed, launched, off the ground.
Yep.
And she just didn't have enough time to help us and have a full-time job and get her business
Which
going.
Is such a reflection of good self-care.
I know.
Supak, we want to formally thank you for everything you've done for us. And wish you absolutely the best. And of course, it's really not goodbye because we're going to be in each other's lives no matter what.
And she is coming to our next live event. She's going to help us.
And I love her wife, Jamie.
Yeah, we're obsessed with
Jamie.
Who is
kind of a focus for me. So I'm delighted to have them in our lives still.
I love them both.
But want to acknowledge a thank you and also talk about that transition, which, by the way, is part of why it is we've been having a little more fun because we have a new social media person. Welcome, Dig, to our team.
The cutest.
Yeah, we got to get her on our website so you can see the cute picture.
Tierra Diggins, but she goes by Dig.
Yeah.
And she's social media and marketing. And when Doug and I ask ourselves, why after a year and a half of doing this, do people not know about us on social media?
Like, well, every single person on the planet.
It's because we don't do social media. I mean, we have Dr. Talia Jackson and Douglas L. Jensen, and We Are Not Fine, but all we've been doing is like posting a little 1 minute clip every week, which is a little wah, wah. So we are admitting defeat. We are old.
Oh, I'm not admitting defeat.
But
and I'm not saying that I'm old.
Young,
I love
and
that you
fresh and
join
peppy.
Me in on your perceptions of
some
old.
Some of us are so much older than others.
Some of us are older, but look much younger than our counterparts who might be younger in years,
but older
in kind of everything else.
Wisdom and maturity and empathy.
I love you,
friends.
So, welcome, Dig.
Welcome, Dig. Oh my God,
well,
we're
so excited.
We kind
of didn't finish because we got together and we had beverages and we had some nice apps and a cheeseburger at a great place.
It was
while we were exploring our needs for
literally
Dig.
The most fun. So she sent us this long inventory of needs with so many questions about like who our avatar is, what's our desired audience, and what are they experiencing, and what are we offering them in terms of tangible results. And Doug and I were like, interesting. Is that what people do before they start a podcast?
No. I will say, though, that every time I hear the word avatar, I think of the movie. So I can't quite use that word. I know it's about something else.
Tall, blue, people.
I love that. Anyway,
they're shaped like my dog Romeo.
No.
Romeo's got more
Romeo's got
chest.
Amazing underbite.
But he has like a waist that's like 3 inches wide, but he's got a real beefy chest. Real interesting chap.
I aspire to that.
Where did we digress?
So here's what I want to say about that. Like, we're so excited because one of the things we've done, and my daughter keeps reminding me, my older child keeps reminding me that some podcasts have been out there for 10, 20 years, and we're about a year and some into it, and we're very grateful for what we have, but it's so looking forward to like having more expansion and taking a look at how we can grow. Because when you do this as a mental health person, you know, we didn't start this with any other intent other than, you know, expanding awareness of mental health, talking That's about right. relationships in particular, which affect all of us, regardless of whether we're in one or not. And we have all relationships, family, friends, coworkers, et cetera, neighbors,
right.
you know, so we all wanted to, we wanted to focus on that, but now we're at a place where we want to take a look at what's next. And I'm very excited. We have some very exciting news about live events, which we don't need to go into because we're solidifying that. But yeah.
Yeah, we're sort of like rebranding, but mostly it's our
rebranding.
Old brand, but with actual words. And
for those of you who watched us at the beginning, boy, were we awkward. We might still be, but.
Well, we'll look back on ourselves in 2 years and be like, oh my God, remember when we said we were rebranding? That was so cute.
That was so cute.
We
and
were
now,
so young and green so and babyish.
Innocent.
What we have learned, though, is that whenever we go out together, this is really going to shock everyone, but Doug, everywhere he goes, makes 8 new best friends and 2 enemies.
Yeah.
And so he has been giving me the confidence to actually, everywhere he goes with me and probably everyone.
I do get a couple.
You do.
I
mean,
do,
you're an
periodically.
8. That's what 8s do. It's like you have a polarizing vibe.
I very seldom get confronted, except I did recently, which was kind of interesting.
Only with glares and people just like talking behind their napkins
and saying,
and stuff.
I so wish I was his friend instead of his frenemy.
Is that what this face looks like?
I see that from you a lot, so I'm trying to figure out what that means.
Well, so Doug is giving me the confidence because every time we go out, he's like, we're doing a podcast, and this is what we're about, and this is my name, and this is her name, and this is what we're doing. And then I'm always like, I put my head in my hand, I hide under the table, because yeah. I never tell anybody anything, especially not when I'm drinking. When I'm out and having
That's
fun.
That's especially when I do it.
I know. It's like our personal lives and our professional lives are somehow integrating.
Can I just say something? You know, so every once in a while, one of these people, I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted and I got into a mindset about Emma.
It's the first time you've ever
the
done
the purple
that.
Hair.
Yeah.
So I'm getting my other sleeve done by my buddy, and this, maybe I talked about this, I hope I didn't, but thank you, Emma, for writing to us.
You did.
Did I?
But you could talk about
God,
it
I just
again.
Love it because it's how it happens. Like we meet these people in public and they're like, oh, here you are.
I know.
And so they're, you know, and then I was making pictures of our new merchandise that we're trying to put together because we've gotten some really fun feedback from all of you on like what kind of sticks. I talked about my pet Jimmy Goat and that was a big popular one. So we might have a Jimmy Goat on a t-shirt.
We need some of your thoughts.
Like ask me about Jimmy Goat.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ask me about Jimmy Goat. We want to have some like fun merch, like, yeah, beanies, t-shirts, sweatshirts.
We are going to do all of that, folks. We need to revamp.
We are really funny and we need that, like I say about us, but we need something funny that reflects who we are and our essence for merch. Like, we're not fine, but.
Or just the key phrase that we use all of it. Tell me more.
But that's not funny.
It doesn't have to always be funny. It could be indicing.
What?
About what? Like, what if somebody said, yeah, tell me about Jimmy Goat. I'll tell you about Jimmy Goat.
That would only, okay, tell me more would only work for an introvert that wants to be approached by strangers.
Do you know what? There are some introverts on this planet. So that would be inclusive.
Wait, did I say introvert or extrovert?
You said extrovert.
Good.
However, you said introvert, but you meant extrovert?
Yes.
Let me also say you need a t-shirt that encourages you to talk to people about the podcast that you're doing because it all can't fall on the 8.
I know. Oh, but this is why you would be so proud of me. So
because your husband initiated
the conversation. Well, yes, that's true. But Doug and I, so basically we've taken a month. We are regrouping. We needed a rest. We needed to be re-inspired. Doug took me and my husband out for my birthday. We went to Stillwater. We had the greatest time.
Oh, my God. That was fun.
Doug made up 500 friends. I day drank. My God. I have
a lot.
So fun. Why did no one tell me? It's like once you become a parent, There was no good time to day
drink. Did nobody tell you that day drinking was fun?
Oh my God.
We went for a hike.
I never got the memo. Oh my God, it was so much fun. But
we played with a big stick.
Oh, yeah.
You took some pictures.
Yeah, video, actually. That'll be good blackmail material, okay. You guys can imagine.
Okay.
But this is why you'd be proud of me.
Tell me.
Rob and I went out after we hung out, went to this cute cocktail bar in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and it was adorable. We had some cocktails. This adorable server, also purple hair, she had this tattoo, and I was like, oh, what is your tattoo? I wanted to read it closer. And she was like, it's a line from my favorite podcast. And the genre was like, it was some, I don't know, sexy fairy astrology.
So that was not something. Our podcast? Our podcast is not her favorite?
Because no one knows about it yet. Except for
That's
the thousands that do. It's true. We have a wonderful
There's a little
following.
Glass half full here sometimes. Like, nobody has ever watched our podcast. They have.
We have
a people really amazing
people who love
group
us, love us. But this particular woman, Rob was like, oh, she has a podcast. And I was like, oh
Thank
my
God,
God this is so embarrassing. But then instead of being embarrassed, I just dove right in. I told her all about it. She was super pumped. And she said, all I do is go out with my friends and talk about my bad mental health and my bad relationships. And I was like, that is our avatar. She is our avatar. And so we're going to do something with that. But I feel like the live events are going to be really wild and fun and special. And maybe we're going to tour and have that be a thing that we do because we have so much fun on stage together. Doug, remember when we decided that we wanted to start every episode so the first 30 seconds talked about the topic? Today was the first day we were going to do that.
Well, let's do that.
500 seconds later, ghosting.
We're going to talk about ghosting today, which...
Why? Who? What is it about? Is it about you? Isn't it about you?
It's always about you.
It's always about Doug.
Once you figure that out, we're going to be just fine.
We are not fine.
I know, I was just going to say, look at our name.
You're not a ghost.
Well, here's the thing about ghosting, right? Like, it's really, and it's really a big, huge product, mostly of social media and how it is that we explore relationships, how we date. No matter what you're on, Tinder, Grindr, Match.com, whatever it is, you know, just being ghosted by someone leaves people so kind of like empty and unresolved and not knowing what to do. And then there's ghosters as well. And so we're going to kind of delve into that a little
That's
bit
right.
today. But it's a dynamic that most people have experienced. And I will say, like, whether you're really exploring dating and somebody just doesn't follow up with you after saying they'd like a couple dates with
yeah.
you, or you've been on three dates and you don't hear from them again.
And
or whether
like
or not you're looking for a hookup and that person just doesn't like follow through and like blocks your whatever.
Yes.
So.
And the worst is when you think there's actually a connection,
yeah.
an attraction. And
yeah.
that happens more often and
yeah.
people are really blindsided. And we'll tell you why. Here's my summary in 2 seconds.
Goodness. Okay.
They're lazy.
We're all going to the summary already. Okay.
And uncomfortable. Like they're...
Oof.
Immature, can't have a hard conversation, and it's the easy way out. The end. End of story.
However, the word lazy, as anybody who works with me knows, is a trigger word for me. Because I don't, I think
what are you going to do? Fight me? What are you going to do? Yell? Oh, click your pen? Oh, that's scary.
Do you know that, you know that both of those are options, but I just don't want to.
I really appreciate that.
Remember when we arm wrestled and you're like, ow!
God, well, you like really went in on it.
You know, that's what you do when you...
I don't, maybe that hasn't been my experience with arm wrestling.
Oh my, who's been arm wrestling with you?
11-year-olds.
A 2-year-old?
11.
Yeah, well, Ty can kick your ass, so...
Well, now he's 13,
yeah.
so he
anyway.
Actually can.
Yeah, so...
But you don't agree with me that they're lazy
no,
and avoidant?
No, I think there's always something... I would say lazy can be about avoidance. I look clinically at lazy. Lazy is not a clinical diagnosis, right? So what is behind the lazy? If you're unmotivated, if you're afraid, if you're avoidant, if you're what?
You're emotionally immature.
That's
and
fair.
You are too afraid to tell someone
the truth.
Bad news,
yeah. Yeah.
The truth, that you're just not into them. And so it ends up making someone feel horrible, insecure.
I would say it's easy. I mean,
it's
an easy thing to do, except I don't think people... do it easily. I think there's people who like, you know what, I'm not going to block that person and they don't know where I live and they don't know who I am and whatnot. However, I always think about this, and I do. I think people should be honest. And as anybody who's working with me on dating or even hookups or finding a friends with benefits or exploring ethical non-monogamy or polyamory, whatever you're looking for in your relationship, I always tell people just really know what, and there's two keys. There's going to be two keys for me. Really know who you are and what you're looking for and be upfront and honest about that. Don't be afraid of telling the people the truth. And it's really okay to say, I'm not feeling it.
It is.
I'm not into you. It does not work that way for me. And that's okay to say. We've all had it done to us, and we all should have done it to other people, because there's no way. We don't have, like, I don't think there's anything so pervasive as someone who wants everybody. Anyway, so we have a couple mailbags. Let's jump in. Do you want to read the first one?
Sure.
I have not looked at these, which, as everybody knows, I do not like reading them ahead of time.
This is actually, we've got two mailbags, and we're not going to be mean. We're going to be very loving, but the two mailbags are both from ghosters. This is mailbag one, number one, and thank you for writing in, and we are not going to be judgy and mean, and it's very vulnerable to
put yourself
out
there. You were a
little judgy
at the beginning.
But that's because I wasn't talking about anyone specifically. I was talking about everyone. And this particular person, let's be therapists about it. Starting now.
I'd like some consistency in your...
I'm a ghoster.
Are you?
I ghost.
Tell me more.
Because I'm afraid of a relationship and I'm insecure. Fuck me. Oof. Thank you very much. It is not about you. I just stop replying immediately, and then those breaks become longer, and then I'm too ashamed to even write them back because I was gone for too long. And then I'm too afraid to read the messages to see how much I've hurt them.
Oh, boy.
It's happening with people who I saw once or twice, IRL.
What does that mean?
Real life.
Oh.
In the name of ghosters, I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's clearly not about you. We're vulnerable, and by our actions make others feel this way, which is not right. Okay, I don't even feel judgy. I'm not even hiding it.
First of all, don't be so freaking hard on yourself. I don't think there's any benefit to like do that self-shaming thing. I think really understanding that this is your dynamic, I think you have really good insight. I think this writer has really good insight on what it is that this person, I think he's a, I don't know if it's a man or woman.
I don't either.
But I think there's a part of this that, you know, I think being hard on yourself isn't really helpful. And I will tell you, there is never a timeline on when you can't respond to somebody. You get to say, you know what? I'm really sorry I did not respond sooner. I've been very busy. I've been a little preoccupied, which is going to be very true, by the way. You've been busy in your head. You've been busy in your thoughts. I'm big on total transparency and honesty with regarding any of these things. So I'll just write back, if you did want to reconnect with someone, if you did want to like just let them know, this is not feeling like the right connection for me. I'm not feeling the spark. I'm not feeling the chemistry. I think that this person should absolutely respond to anybody they want to respond to. And I think it's absolutely fair to have that conversation, no matter what the timeline is. You know, I think the other part that you said, though, is, you know, you're too afraid to see the messages that they've sent you because they're probably telling you, you know what, fuck you for not responding to me or whatever. They might not be. They might be just concerned about your well-being. And regardless of what it is that's going on for you, you're in distress about this. You're struggling with it. And I think part of your work is to remove yourself from that struggle and really try to be less avoidant, to be direct, to be honest, and not afraid of any of those things. So I think managing that fear and that discomfort with getting back to someone, if you don't have something they might want to know, right? Like, it's okay to say, I don't really feel the spark. It was very nice meeting you. Or I really enjoyed chatting with you. I'm not feeling like I have the space to look at this right now. I think that's the thing. I mean, I think the whole goal of, you know, I think therapy is, you know, many times if you've listened to our podcast, is to live an honest life. And I think related to all this, we have the ease of not having to respond to people. We have the ease of not, you know, having to see them in necessarily these circumstances to, you know, where we're dating or we're exploring the relationship. But I think really just be honest and just write back to all of them and clean your slate. I will tell you, you will feel better. It's like when you clean your home, right? Like, you don't necessarily have the energy for it maybe, but once you clean your space, you feel much better. And the same thing about these. And if you're not ready to be on an app, if you don't feel like you're ready to communicate with people in a direct and honest way, it's not about timeliness. That's not the issue here, buddy. Or girl or boy or whoever it is, I'd call them buddy anyway. But I would say really just make sure that you respond in some way, because it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make them feel better, because people who are ghosted, they do. And you can tell them that it's all about you, but that doesn't matter if they're waiting for a response from you.
I mean, it's beautiful. And I
thank you.
I really feel like I wanna jump on a couple of these points. Like the shame spiral. The reason why it's a spiral is because it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you feel ashamed of yourself and you avoid one thing, it then becomes a skeleton in your closet. That one person becomes a person you don't want to see on the street. If you do it again, it then again, it's like, again, you are treating someone horribly. You feel like shit about yourself. There's now two skeletons in your closet, two people you don't want to run into on the street. And then you carry yourself differently because you have low self-esteem. You have low self-worth. You don't feel good about the way you show up in relationships. And it just is this cycle of becoming more and more avoidant and cowardly and low self-worth. And exactly what Doug said, and we want to provide you with as many of these scripts as possible. Of you are awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm looking for something maybe like short term and light, and you seem like you're looking for somebody really deep, ready for a long term relationship. There are a million ways you could just say, you know what, you're really awesome. I don't know if I'm as ready as I thought I was for something real and long term. If you want to hang out as friends, or I can't commit to anything, there are a million ways you can do this. And then be able to go home knowing that you were honest about what you are and need and want. You've let someone down maybe for 2 seconds, but you can hold your head up high, and that yucky feeling looming over your head of like, I now have to go into avoidance mode. Who do I need to block? Who I feel so disgusted and ashamed by my actions, and I'm picturing that they're feeling really bad and awful, and now I can't face it. It's the worst feeling in the world. And just like Doug said, it's not just about you making other people feel bad. When you ghost someone, it makes you feel like you're not a good enough person to deserve a healthy, mutual, reciprocal, emotionally mature relationship. It's really all about emotional maturity. And like this guy or gal, literally, this is what I underlined. I'm afraid of relationships. I'm insecure. I'm too afraid. I don't want to see how I've hurt them. We're vulnerable. That is so real. So whenever you're wondering, is this about me? I literally want you to write those things down for yourself. If you've been ghosted, it is not about you. This is what's going on for them.
I would say 3 things in response to what you just said. You know, I want to go a little bit deeper about this. I wonder so much about the pervasiveness of this avoidance in your life as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think relationships are probably the only place that this has happened. And so I kind of wonder, where else in your life? Do you have a hard time applying for jobs? Do you have a hard time interviewing? Do you have a hard time following up with, you know, the things that you need to follow up on more generally? If you miss a credit card bill, how hard is it for you to call the credit card company and get back on track? Like, how many things in your life are you avoiding? If your sink is not working, do you have a hard time calling your repairman or contractor to get that taken care of? So I might look at the more pervasive and historic and chronic part of this as well. And then I wonder about the origins of this. Like, were relationships in your life, whether it's your parents, whether it's your grandparents, whether it's other people that you knew and were around them growing up, did you see relationships that if somebody spoke their truth, they got a negative consequence? Have you tried this as a child? Were you allowed to have your feelings, whatever the range of emotions were that you were experiencing? Did you have a childhood where emotions were free to have? And if, unless you were punished for them, hopefully that was the case. But if you had a negative experience trying to put yourself out there, if you got a negative response from your parents or other caregivers or siblings for what it is that you said, I can see where some of the avoidance can come from, right? Like, if we learn it's not safe to express myself, I'm not going to do it. So the question really is, like, where did the history of this come from as well? So I look at that as well. This is a funny thing. Like, this social media person that we, you broke my pen. This social media person that we have, now I can't write, that we have asked about like our vibe and stuff. And the truth is, she's listened to our podcast, and we're very different. I would not say to someone, you're really awesome. Like, I think that's that's not necessarily honest. As we're looking at this, like, I don't know that you even need to say they're awesome, because the truth is, if I've gone out with someone who is either racist or homophobic or misogynistic or transphobic or HIV phobic or whatever it is, I really wouldn't be very inclined to call them awesome. I wouldn't be inclined to, you know, go out with them again. And I might say, you know, I was really offended by a couple things you said. Just food for thought. You know, this is where it doesn't work for me. It might be something that doesn't work for you moving forward. Take a look at it. Because I do think addressing those sorts of things and those microaggressions or macroaggressions, you know, making sure that we address those is how we move forward as a culture toward a more positive place. But I think, you know, be honest about it. I think it's absolutely fair.
I really love what you said about, you know, just the characteristics of someone that might ghost and questioning, you know, do you have trouble with follow through and follow up and being a consistent person. And so this is what I wanted to ask what you think about this. I wonder sometimes about alcohol and the way it plays into people being consistent or drugs or whatever. But just like if you're in a moment and you're having fun and you're drinking and you find a similar wavelength with that same person in that moment, you guys have a moment. And the you that wants to get together again with that person, it's because you're like in a vibe. But then when you sober up that next day and you look back at the evening, you might have a very different feeling about that person and whether or not you want to get another date with that person. So could it also be a factor of, well, yeah, we had a lot of fun in the moment, but then I woke up the next day and I was like, Jesus Christ, what was I doing? That wasn't me. I don't want that kind of a person in my life. I got trashed and that's not who I am and I want nothing to do with that. Like the you that says, let's do this again is not the same you that will be in charge of following up.
So bottom line on this particular mailbag is, let's explore the origins of your avoidance and see what it's really about and take a look at those issues and see if you can have some insight. I love the idea of developing a script for these things so that you really feel like, you know, it is who you are. Every once in a while, I'll give a script to somebody who is really struggling with the right words. And it's very easy after 29 years of doing this to be really, you know, honest and respectful and regarding and own your stuff that you contribute. I think there's a lot of people that just don't respond very nicely when they're trying to get away from somebody or reject somebody. Like they grab their pen and break that mother.
Only if that beloved person talks with the hand that's by my eyeball with ballpoint 3 inches, no, 3 millimeters away from my face.
Can you?
It's a natural consequence.
Can you look like you're peeking under it just to see what this looks like? Well, that's it. I really like that. So that's tough. By the way, I know you're in distress too. This is the part I appreciate you getting some compassion about.
We love the self-awareness. Yeah, that is literally half the battle.
But don't put yourself down anymore and don't be self-destructive in those thoughts. I think that negative self-thought is going to be really harmful to you.
Take that negative self-thought and decide what you want to do about it.
And really, it's about responding. Don't be afraid of these emails that are coming from people. Just say, you know what, I'm so sorry. Even if they say you're a motherfucker for, you know, avoiding me and ghosting me.
Yeah, but they would respect you.
Absolutely. Just say, you're absolutely right. I was avoiding responding to this, but I'm gaining the strength and I'm figuring out how to do this.
Oh my God. That would if you said that, I swear everyone would just be like, okay, that was really hurtful, but I really respect it.
And now I want to date you.
I know, but that's a problem. I think we should talk about the character structure of someone who might get really clingy after getting ghosted, because that is a yin and a yang of childhood trauma and family of origin.
Ooh,
stuff that
deep,
you don't want to be a part of that. Like if you ghost someone and they want more and can't get enough of you, that's not good either. And so if you do all of a sudden become this stand-up person who's like, literally this little email that you wrote, if you cut and pasted that and you said, I'm so sorry, I ghosted you. I have to be honest. I'm realizing I'm just really afraid of relationships and I'm insecure. And I get so ashamed when the breaks between the messages get longer. And I'm horrified. It's not about you. I'm feeling vulnerable. And I can't stand that I made you feel that way. Unfortunately for the world, and why Doug and I are never going to go out of business, is those people that you ghosted are very likely to be like, oh my God, I turned this emotionally unavailable person. I'm good enough for them. I'm beautiful enough. I'm finally enough. And then they're going to want to date you again. And please, for the love of God, I speak for all of the ghosted. Don't go back to them unless you are truly ready to be a consistent, secure, emotionally mature person that can show up and be honest. Please. PSA.
That was kind of a PSA. Yeah, what's an interesting thing? I mean, I don't want to go too far into this because this is a really, really big topic. But you're right. Somebody who goes back just because somebody wants them after they've ghosted them is not honest, right? And I think it's really easy to fall back into some patterns. And I see so many relationships that have been so easily just drawn back into because of sexual attraction or getting what you need in the moment. And we have to take a look at the thoughtful kind of longer term and what is really true about that relationship. I've been in relationships that it would be really easy to get back into because I do have fun with those people.
Yeah.
But if I'm hurting them by leading them on, or I'm really not interested in that monogamous relationship, or whatever, developing that, I can't do it.
But that's not fair. One of your greatest qualities is you're able to very diplomatically, thoughtfully, kindly deliver bad news or just be honest and direct.
News that people don't want to hear necessarily if they're into you.
Right, because you're either choosing disappointing someone up front for 30 seconds or giving them a week, a month, a year, a decade of this horrible feeling. They would much prefer that 30 seconds of disappointment. Guess what our next mailbag's about?
Ghosting.
Read it.
There was a guy I had started talking to over text in early 2020. We became good friends and everything was going great. I was so happy to have found a friend as I'm not the best at making any. But then as the friendship went on, he started showing feelings for me. I had suspicions at the time that he liked me, but I'm very insecure. So basically just thought, why would he? So I had to let it go. I had to just let it go. But then towards the end of 2020, he confessed that he had feelings for me, even asking if I wanted to be his girlfriend. I was shocked and I didn't know how to react, so I gave him an awkward response. We kept talking. Then in December of 2020, I was just starting to feel really awkward and nervous talking to him, so I ghosted him. Ouch. I hate the fact that I did and think I'm an awful person for it. I just feel terrible that I ghosted the guy after such a long friendship that even led up to him liking me. But now recently, I have had a bit of desire to talk to him again, but I just don't know how. We got this. I want to apologize for ghosting him and maybe start talking again, but I just don't know how. It's been months since it happened, so I feel like it would be awkward and weird for me to come crawling back out of nowhere. I hate what I did and the fact that I let my own insecurities and bad decisions ruin a perfectly good friendship. What do I do? I need advice. Boy, do we have some for you.
So your awareness and your shame around this is literally 50% of the battle. Most people that are hurtful in relationships and in these patterns, they don't have self-awareness. They're not being honest with themselves. They're not looking at themselves in the mirror. They may have this yucky feeling, but they don't know exactly what it's about. It's about you not being able to stand up and show up in a way that feels good to you, which is the key to self-esteem and self-worth. And so the awkwardness of crawling back out of nowhere is exactly what you have to be brave enough to do.
Yep.
And just like we were mentioning in this last mailbag, even it doesn't even matter what happened. If you're able to show up and say, I am so sorry. It was not okay. This is why I did it. It's not an explanation, but it's not an excuse, but it is an explanation. And it's always like, this is what was going on for me internally. I was feeling awkward. I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't know how to tell you I didn't have the same feelings, but I value your friendship so much. And I can't believe that I would do that after such a long, beautiful friendship. I feel terrible. And the reason why it would take bravery is you don't know how he's going to respond. He might say, you know what? Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much that means to me. I have been feeling so bad. I thought it was something that I did. I've been thinking about it so much. Went through all the stages of grief. I don't know, whatever it is. But I really appreciate you saying that, which probably will happen in either scenario. Scenario one, he's willing to be friends again. And scenario two, it's an I forgive you, but I'm certainly not going to forget, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to move through this.
But no matter what the outcome of that is, communicating is the key here. I got to tell you, I kind of back up to a really, really big question mark that I have about this. I don't know how you feel about him. I don't know if you are comfortable moving it beyond friendship. I don't know if he wanted to move into a more romantic connection or physical connection. So I think one of the things you need to do about him, I mean, you own, and I agree with you 100% that the awkward and weird to be crawling back out of nowhere, I hate what I did, I let my own insecurities and bad decisions ruin this perfectly good friendship. You know, by the way, the dude is responsible for having tried to move it beyond friendship. So there was work to be done on this anyway to figure out what was he going to do if you weren't interested? How is it going to look if you moved it beyond that? You know, a lot of people are scared of moving a friendship to something romantic or physical because it can ruin the friendship. I think never does that need to happen if you're open and honest and truthful to each other. But people get weird about moving a friendship to something physical or romantic. And I think that's been, you know, a big issue for a lot of people to try to transition. But, you know, going into that and saying, I'm willing to try this, but I'm not willing to lose the friendship. If you keep talking, I think friendships can be saved. I don't think once you have sexual contact with a friend, it means no going back to friendship. I think you can
do that.
It's
hard. It's really hard, but anything is possible.
I think anything is possible.
Communication.
With communication. But the big factor for you moving forward before you have any contact with him is to be clear on what you're looking for. Like if you were to say to him, I've absolutely been avoiding it, kind of threw me off, I got a little insecure. Do you want to try this with him? If you want to keep it a friendship, because you wrote, my bad decisions ruined a perfectly good friendship. You have to decide, do you just want friendship with this guy or do you want to potentially date this guy? Do you have some of those same feelings? And that's where you have to be honest. And you could also, by the way, I always tell people don't feel comfortable saying, I don't know, but you get to not know.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. So you get to say to this guy, you know what? I'm not sure how it would be to date you. I'm not sure what it would feel like to kiss you in that way. I don't know what it would feel like to be physical with you. So I don't want to ruin the friendship. And I was afraid right away of that happening. I was feeling insecure. I was being bad. I'm putting words in your mouth that I think you were probably not sure what would happen to the friendship if you moved it into that. But you have to be clear. And there have been people that I'm friends with that I have explored. Like this is a personal thing, but I have thought maybe we could be something more when it's presenting itself. Because I think sometimes growing into romantic from a friendship, I've only had one situation, honestly, in my life where that was a possibility. And I loved the idea. It felt good to have this foundation of trust and friendship.
It's the best case scenario.
I think it could be. Although I kind of make
if
fun of those.
Attraction.
I kind of make fun of those. You know, today I'm marrying my best friend and I always want to say, oh, I'm sorry. Because, you know.
Because I'd rather marry my worst enemy.
I would rather have an adversarial.
Yeah, well, you have one on your chest in the form of a tattoo. You have like an ongoing war between gods and demons.
They're both me.
So real and true.
So that's what I think. Like, be clear on what your intent is. Be clear on where you're at. It is okay to not know. If you do know, if you had sexual attraction to him too, great. Then you say, I kind of freaked out. I felt insecure. I wasn't sure why you would want me. I was kind of going through that, you know, negative self-talk in my head. Challenge that and just be direct about it. And by the way, he might be really just so hurt. I'll be honest, if somebody that I was interested in dating ghosted me for even a month, you know, and didn't say, I'm really struggling with what just happened, I don't know what to do, I'd be like, oh, I've learned a lot about this relationship and I don't like it.
I know.
It would not be okay because you're going to feel anxious all the time. Like we want secure attachments. We want, you know, even if they're filled with all kinds of drama and stuff, we still want them to be honest. And honest communication is critical. So I feel like you have no problem going back to him. And again, I'm going to say from the previous mailbag as well, the truth is there's not a timeline on when to communicate with someone. You get to come back and say, I did a horrible thing. You know, it's funny. I had a friend recently acknowledge that he did something that I thought he did to me, but he said he didn't at the time. And then he came back recently and said, just so you know, I did do that years later. And I kind of smiled. I'm like, I think you're in treatment and you're doing making amends as part of your process here.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sure
so interesting
was,
to which me.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't.
But you do, I mean, like Doug was saying, you do, I want you to be brave no matter what for your own sense of self.
Correct.
And to feel like you're someone who's moving around in the world with integrity.
Yeah.
Which will make you feel so much more secure and have self-esteem. But I do want you both of our beloved ghosters that wrote in, I want you to be prepared for the possibility that the person on the other end feels like they've learned a lot about you and your character as somebody who, when things get hard or uncomfortable, you disappear.
Yeah.
Which does make people feel like, well, maybe I dodged a bullet, because if I were to actually be in a relationship with this person, if we had an obstacle or a complex, complicated conversation, what would that even look like? What
right.
would any sort of adversity look like with this person? Would they always avoid and disappear? Because as Doug mentioned at the beginning of this episode, it's probably not just in dating. It's sort of the way people are
yep.
in the world. Like, can you sit in awkward, complex situations and face it head on and be direct? And for those of you that may have ghosted but have wonderful intentions and just felt really like, I can't do this right now, I would say if you're ready to reconcile, I think I already said this, like, make sure you're ready to not do that again. Make sure you're ready to be the kind of person who can have a hard conversation, who can own your own shit, who can have self-awareness, who can be not defensive when someone tells them that you've hurt them. And if you are able to do those things, you are emotionally ready and mature enough to be in a relationship.
You know, I feel like we are Ghostbusters today.
Oh my God!
Right?
I really love
it. It kind of hit me as something you
We're
said.
Solving
I'm like,
ghosting.
Who are you
going to
call?
Ghostbusters. Oh my God, look at us.
I know. I feel like we're just ghostbusting
You're
all over the
Dan
place.
You're Dan Aykroyd.
Thank you, Chevy Chase.
I mean,
although
I
kind of like the female
chin.
Version, I'd kind of like to be Melissa McCarthy.
She is literally
yeah.
her and Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, stop.
I can't. Don't make me choose.
Let's be both for Halloween. I want to say one more piece before we go on. I love the ghostbusting comment, but I want to say this about the insecurity comment. Like, I circled the word insecurities because we all have them, folks. We all have insecurities. We all have things we don't love about ourselves. We all have things that make us have felt bad. I wish we could have done that differently in our lives. To live the best life you can, you really have to face those fuckers head on. You have
I
to
really
face
do.
Those thoughts. You have to face that negativity. You have to face the things that make you feel insecure about yourself, whether it's how you look, whether it's what you do, whether it's that you're not happy with certain parts of your life, whatever it is, no matter what your insecurity is, own that. And take a look at, is there something you have in control to
That's
change?
Right.
And That's so
right.
that word insecurity feels so big on this page to me, and just really a pervasive issue in our culture. And I always tell people, you know, you can't change some things about yourself. I'm not going to grow hair tomorrow. I don't want to do a hair transplant or anything like this. I've got to live with this bald head of mine.
You have one super cute one that's like popping up right here.
I'm going to let that one grow, and then I'm going to pull it down.
But it is, I will agree, there is nothing sexier than a person who loves who they are, is
That's
comfortable
right.
in their own skin, warts and all. You do not have to be perfect
yeah.
to be sexy and desirable. You have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And which means be mature enough to look at yourself. You can laugh at yourself. You can be honest about, like, oh my God, there I did it again. Not
Oops,
my best
I
work.
Did it again.
Never
Britney Spears.
Heart.
Here's a, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think
and that's sexy.
And that's it. And we all make mistakes, and we all are human beings. And I think when we own that stuff, you know, again, you just said it, but confidence is the biggest aphrodisiac. You can look a certain way,
it
you
is.
Can be a certain age, you can whatever. But the reality is, if you're confident in yourself and you know yourself, not only will that be attractive to people, but also it will help with that insecurity. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I know not everybody would be a good date for me, and I would be not be a good date for them, right?
That's right. Or and there's nothing wrong with
there
that.
There is not. Or a friend.
That's
like
right.
all of my friends, such as yourself, they know that I'm a big, big personality.
so big.
That's not for everybody.
That's not for everybody.
It isn't. You want to know. but, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, even our team of people, you know, they're all people who, you know, our AV team, these are friends of mine, right? Long, long-term friends. Well, one of them is just recently new. But, you know, the truth of the matter is it's really great to have people who accept who I am. I always do things funny at the front of the podcast when we start recording, and I...
What did you do today?
I did flex today. I flex every time.
Literally every time.
Oh, I was dancing and I was going back and forth and not listening to you.
And wow, that's shocking. That's the first time you've ever done that.
Right. And then you're like, when you're ready to listen to me, let me know. And
yeah.
I'm like, well, I'll let you know when I'm done dancing. And then my friend Jeff called me Clicky because I was clicking my pen.
Yeah. Mr. Clickmeister.
I have a really easy way of blocking people out when they're not paying attention to what I'm doing in a positive way.
Me
Do you like
too.
That ownership?
Me too, except ours looks very different. I'll just like sit and stare at you and be like, are you ready to pay attention? Okay, final note.
That's kind of what I was doing.
People will say, see, I'm blocking them out right now. People will say, oh, it's easier said than done. How can you pretend that you're confident? I know everyone is attracted to confidence, but I'm not confident. But we are telling you the way to confidence is feeling good about the way you show up in the world. It doesn't mean that you haven't made 7,000 mistakes until this moment in time, but every time you show up in a way that feels good to you with integrity and bravery, I promise you that confidence and that self-esteem will build. There are so many people, some of the most confident, dynamic, charismatic, lovable people are people that all of a sudden woke up and they're like, oh my God, I was an asshole, or I was an addict, or I was a narcissist, or I...
Are you ready to face those things?
Starting tomorrow. But what I want to model is you can be charming and lovable, warts and all. Just like if you're showing up in a way that feels good to you, good enough.
So bottom line on this ghosting thing... Really work on whatever avoidance or insecurity or fear you have that leads to that ghosting, because it's not respectful and it's not really, both of these writers really, you know, claim their discomfort with having done that. So work on those things. And if you're on the other side and you've been ghosted, I will say it might be a blessing. Like it might be something where, you know, you don't want to be with someone who can't communicate, who's still working on that stuff. If you're ready for that relationship,
That's
if someone
right.
comes back and owns their shit, and they say, you know what? I'm sorry. I needed to talk to you about that. I did not. It's been now months and I apologize. And I can understand if you don't want to be my friend or my boyfriend or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's up to that person to say that. And there are very few times at this point in my life that I would be okay. Like, why don't you go work on your stuff? Let me know when you're ready to build this, because I cannot be anxious in a relationship.
That doesn't
work. You have to have trust. And I think a lot of us really just require, just be entirely honest. I'm not going to get mad if you're honest. By the way, I get really irritated when people in my life don't tell me the truth and they, you know, people please, or they avoid by telling me something they don't mean. Don't bother. It doesn't work.
Right.
But I am confident and I like the truth.
And that's like one way of being in the world, right? It's like, I always think about this continuum of like authenticity at all costs, even if it hurts your feelings.
Yes.
Versus harmony at all costs, even if a part of your soul is like dying a little bit because you're so afraid of conflict.
Yeah.
And so there is this beautiful happy medium, and these scripts that we're trying to help you with are to find like, I'm being direct and I'm being honest with myself and you, but also I'm not an asshole and I'm sorry that I'm delivering bad news, but I have to be true to myself.
Yep.
I'm either going to disappoint you or disappoint myself, and that's not good for anyone.
The truth does indeed set us free.
Mic drop.
That is not a mic. This is a mic.
We love you guys. Oh, wait. You want to find us on social media? They said not really, but here you go anyway.
I hope so, now that we have a social media.
I know. You guys get ready. You should look now. Look now. And you'll see that we have a social media presence. Douglas L. Jensen with an E-N. I'm D-R Talia Jackson, T-A-L-I-A, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
Duda, duda.
Meow, 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 meow. We are not fine pod. And guess what all, y'all. We're going to be on TikTok and YouTube Shorts. And
we might wear shorts soon as the weather is warmer.
As soon as Doug starts wearing pants.
Are you looking at my curling?
Oh, no, we're on something else. Oh, a Facebook.
We're going to have a Facebook.
You guys, you'll be so proud of us.
Is it still called Facebook?
I hope so.
Okay. And wearenotfine.com. It's our website. We need to update it a little bit. We're doing some stuff with that as well. We would encourage you to go on there. If you have anything you want to ask us, anything you want covered here, please give us your story. There's so many people that we interact with in public, and they'll be like, oh my God, my relationships. I should tell you about those. I'm like, please do. Please write in and let us know about your relationship questions, because we are very interested in addressing that. And as we really just fine tune, like, you know, where this podcast is headed, any relationship issue is going to be so interesting for us to discuss. We're going to have great guests, etc. So weirdoutfine.com. Let us know what you think.
And also, if you do go on our website, we have a link that's super easy to find. I think it's also in our link tree. I know it's in our link tree, in the bio of our social media stuff, but we are about to create newsletters, and we have so many incredible resources to share. We want to tell you about our live shows. We want to tell you what's going on. We will never sell your information. You won't get rando emails. It's just going to be really...
I don't even know how we would do that.
You have to opt out of being an asshole, but I promise you, we are opting out. We are not going to pester you in your mailbox. It's just going to be really like exactly what we're doing. Beautiful resources about some of the issues that we're tackling. We're going to summarize, like for this ghosting episode in particular, we will summarize the main point so that you can go through all of the episodes and just get the juicy nuggets. And we're not fine, but
we will never, ever ghost you.
That's a really good one.
Thank you.
Because we're the Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Peace out, y'all.
Have a good week.